Blog Talk family.
Hello.
You're listening to Leslie Giff. Are you there, Mr. Push, Jeremy Williams?
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're doing the John Cornu today, and he's going to talk about his Abolition Hall of Fame Museum, and which I've never heard of, by the way. And I definitely got some questions about that, particularly about the whole John Brown thing. But you're also here to promote some type of event of yours. So you can talk a little bit about that. Tell us who you are.
Okay. My name is Jonathan Cornu. I'm the Vice President for the National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum. We're located in Peterborough, New York. It's a small hamlet in the town of Smithfield. And the reason you haven't heard of it is because right now we're pretty small, and we're looking to to expand and to get some more people interested in us. We were formed in we pulled together some abolition experts in October of 2004, and we pretty much to determine should we have a National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum, and the consensus was a firm yes. March of 2005, we announced our first abolition honorees, the first people inducted into the Hall of Fame, and we've been growing ever since.
Yeah, on your website, of course, you're talking about the Hall of Fame, and I noticed the name John Brown keeps coming out. But you know what? I want you to tell everybody a little bit about who John Brown is, and the reason why is because when you think of the abolitionist movement, I know for myself growing up as a kid going through school and everything, the last person I ever heard of, matter of fact, I didn't even hear of John Brown and his involvement, his sacrifice, particularly his family, until I got to college, because I guess we just don't think of a white man sacrificing himself and his family for black freedom. So that's very interesting. I really got interested in reading more about John Brown when I got into college. But talk a little bit about that.
John Brown was in our second induction class in 2007, and certainly he's the most controversial person that we inducted into the Hall of Fame. The list, the people who have been inducted to date, came from a list developed by these abolition experts that initially helped us create the Hall of Fame. I'll admit right now, I am not a scholar. I am an educator, actually. It's one of the reasons I came on was so that I could tie Nahoff to the to the local community and hopefully eventually to the larger educational field. But John Brown, for years, kind of hung in the background because people thought he was nuts, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
He was a bad guy in many places,
uh-huh.
still is in some
uh-huh.
places. But
yeah,
what he
again,
gave...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, what he gave.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What he gave of him, you know, he gave of himself, as you said, he gave of his family. He really dedicated his life to this cause. He did
yeah.
not, after a while, believe what many of the other abolitionists believed, and that was, William Lloyd Garrison in the Boston
yeah.
crew talked about moral suasion. Let's talk people into understanding that the that slavery is wrong and that we need immediate emancipation. Brown said, you know, that's apparently not working and we need to take it to the next step. And many of the abolitionists agreed with him but were afraid to take that next step. Many disagreed
mm-hmm.
with him.
Including people that I think agreed and disagreed, including Douglas and other people who actually, you know, ran for the hills, right, and kind of left the guy to
There's a group of people called the Secret Six who helped to fund the Harper's Ferry raid, and one of those people was Garrett Smith, which the town of his father actually is whom the town of Smithfield is named after.
Mm-hmm.
And Smith really had a hard time with it. He helped fund the raid, but afterwards, it tore him up inside. That people
mm-hmm.
died, that he helped contribute to that. He had a lot of difficulty with that concept. Frederick Douglass, you mentioned also, he honored John Brown, but he too seemed to have some difficulty with it.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm just really interested in this the museum, and I hope to visit it soon because I've never heard of it. Wow. And but anyway, you're also trying to promote a campaign to win a Pepsi grant. Is that correct?
We are. Pepsi. It's frankly a stroke of marketing genius.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing Super Bowl commercials this year, they took that money and they put it into grants. And
mm-hmm.
the only way to win it's really American Idol style, but more important, you need people to vote for you. Once you submit the grant, they're giving away
mm-hmm.
$5,000 grants, $25,000 grants, $50,000 grants, and $250,000 grants each month this year.
Wow.
And
now, this is for the Nahoff?
This is for Nahoff. Really what
yeah.
exists right now is the National Abolition Hall of Fame, and we are chartered by the New York State Education Department as a museum as well. But the museum itself is still in the process of being developed, and a lot of that comes down to funding. In these tough economic times, it's
mm-hmm.
hard to find the people to sponsor something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So to... Get,
so how do people vote? I mean, what is the process? Because I have heard of this before, but I never really looked into it. So how do people vote, and how do you get the money?
All right, it's pretty simple. You go for the month of June, because that's the month that ours is in. You go to
mm-hmm.
www.refresheverything.com. /NAHOFM, Nahoff M, National
yeah.
Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum. And that
mm-hmm.
will take you right to the page that you can vote on. You sign
wow.
in, you'll need to create an account, but the account is free. You don't get
mm-hmm.
spammed. They don't hit you with anything. It's essentially a way of making sure that people don't just set up computers to vote on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And you can vote for us once a day, every day for the month of June.
Wow, and of course you're competing with other people, and
There are 296 people competing for the $250,000 grant this month, and we need to be in the top two in order to win the money. If we don't win the money, I'll be disappointed, obviously, but I'll be happy in that we've increased our exposure incredibly. We're getting emails from Australia and South Korea saying, "Hey, I'm voting."
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's doing a lot for us. It's doing a lot for our exposure. Right now, we're about 93rd. We started around 256th. Mm-hmm. So we've climbed significantly in just 8 or 9 days.
And what will you do if you win the money?
The money's really going to be put towards a couple of different things. The first is the completion of the museum. We have it outlined. We have it developed. We know what we want to do. We just need the finances to put it together. We're also going to put together a place where we can begin to archive pieces for people who want to do abolition scholarship, who want to look into it, who want to study it. And finally, we want to really push out a national campaign. We're calling it tentatively right now, I Am Me. That is, let's take a look at people for who they are and without bringing race into the picture as much. And that in and of itself is kind of a touchy subject. Are we in a post-racial society or not? Should we be in a post-racial society? That's something that we're still exploring. How are we going to push this out? But it's essentially about taking people for who they are, and we're looking to maybe develop a national campaign for that.
Great. Now, as I understand, the place where the museum is housed was once a former church of some sort, Presbyterian church.
Yes, it was. In October of 1835, there was a meeting at the Bleecker Street Church in Utica, New York. And they were trying to create the New York State Anti-Slavery Society.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was that the local gentry came in and ran them out of town. Garrett Smith, who for a while spent some time as a colonizationist, that is, let's free people but send them back to Africa. He at that point was starting to come over to the immediate emancipation mindset, and he was so appalled by the fact that these people who were speaking freely were being run out of town that he invited everyone back to Peterborough. He had a very large estate there. He was a very wealthy man and landowner, and he invited people to come back the next day and to this church where they did actually create the New York State Anti-Slavery Society. So that church for a while was it ran kind of through the gamut. It was a church, it was a school, it was eventually beginning to it was getting worn down, and a local community group, the Smithfield Community Association, got together and said, "We need to save this building," and they did so. They raised the funds. They've been refurbishing it, and it was out of the Smithfield Community Association that NAHOP sprang.
Okay. So who decides which historical figure gets inducted? I mean, what is the process behind that?
Through our next induction, which will be in October of 2011, we have been going off of a list. We polled these abolition scholars from around the nation, and we've polled from that list. At that point, it becomes a public nomination.
Well, hold on. Let me jump in there with a question. How do you poll that? I mean, do you send them out to university scholars, people who are in the field? Is that how you do it?
Exactly. And
how many universities?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. I was not part of NAHOP at its inception. I was at Johnny Come Lately.
But go ahead. Well, who decides who gets inducted into NAHOP?
It was based initially on really the number of people who put down certain names. For example, Frederick Douglass was quite obviously in the first class. Everybody put Frederick Douglass's name down. William Lloyd Garrison was in that class. Harriet Tubman. I got to think about who the others were. Garrett Smith was, and Lucretia Mott. And then the we induct new people every 2 years, and then on the alternate years, we do a commemoration ceremony for them. So 2011 and will be the last time that we pull from that list. As of 2013, we will be using we will be inducting from public nominations. Anybody can nominate somebody for the National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum. And the way to do that right now is to send us an email. It's mail@abolitionhof.org, and say, hey, I'd like the form for that. We send you the form to nominate somebody, and it requires a bit of work. We need you to do the research, because we're not all experts on every abolitionist. We will have independent readers making those decisions at that point.
Okay, and the independent readers obviously are scholars, abolitionist scholars. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow, that's great. And are you? How do you pull those? Are you pulling them from the local universities?
Where do we get the abolition scholars? Not just local, but national universities. We are asking people. We don't have our full reading team pulled together yet, but we are asking people if they would be willing to be readers for this.
Quick question, John. This is Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Could you just give our audience a little snippet of the people that are inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Certainly.
You know, just an educational piece that we want to share with the audience.
Just the list of who's in there, or?
Yes, and just a little background, small background, because a lot of people don't know who Lucretia Mott is and why she's inducted.
I can give you just a small background. Again, I am not the scholar.
We understand.
From that first class is obviously Frederick Douglass. I think most people are familiar with him. William Lloyd Garrison was he was an abolitionist in the Boston area. He kind of led the charge initially. He created his own newspaper. He spent a lot of time pushing for moral suasion, trying to convince people this is the right thing to do. We also have Garrett Smith. Again, Peterborough was his home. That was where he spent his time. And really, it was said at one point, Henry Highland Garnet said that there are two places where a slave catcher cannot go, heaven and Peterborough. So that's why Peterborough has become our center. Lucretia Coffin Mott, she was from Nantucket originally, but spent much of her time in the Philadelphia area. One of my favorite quotes from her is, I have felt bound to plead their cause in season and out of season, to give all my power and aid in every effort for their emancipation. She pushed for what she called truth for authority, not authority for truth. She was part of the Quaker movement, actually. So, and then the final person in that class was Harriet Tubman. And again, most people are familiar with her, at least in name. What we know about her, much of it is false. It's fourth grade education stuff, tales that we heard that didn't maybe come from reliable sources. One of our board members, Dr. Milton Cernette, Professor Emeritus from Syracuse University, just recently published a book on Harriet Tubman, which speaks a lot about her, really gives a lot of in-depth research into her. In addition, we had John Brown, we had Lydia Mariah Child, and these were both from the 2011 class. Wendell Phillips was a great orator at the time. And Sojourner Truth, they were all in that class. And again, Sojourner Truth is well known at least as a name, but that's about as much as people know about her. She was actually a slave in New York State, and people don't think about slavery in the North. They think about slavery as something simply in the South. She literally walked away from the family and took the name Sojourner because that's what she did. She walked and she traveled. There are memorials to her everywhere from Stockbridge, Massachusetts, up into Michigan. She met Lincoln, and she was illiterate. Everything that she did off the top of her head. She knew her Bible inside and out, but not because she could read it. The final class was Lewis Tappan, who is quite probably best known for his role in the Amistad case. He was one of the lawyers for the slaves. They weren't slaves. They were on a slave ship that they mutinied. They took over the ship and ended up in the New York area, New York City area. And then the final person is Theodore Dwight Weld, and that's where we are right now. So we have 11 inductees at this point, and we will be announcing our new inductees early next year. After that, it's up to the general public.
Great, great. Leslie, you have any more questions?
Oh, yes, I'd like for you to talk about the upcoming events that you have.
Well, if you're local, in the hamlet of Peterborough this weekend, the Smithfield Community Association every year hosts Civil War Weekend. They do a reenactment there. They set up camp. They do a nice job with the local schools. Tomorrow, I believe, there will be fourth graders there from area schools who kind of get to walk through the camp and ask questions. And then we run it for the general public during the weekend. At that time, Nahoff we'll be having an open house in the Smithfield Community Center where our museum will be held. In addition, in October in Peterborough, we will be holding our commemoration ceremony, and this is a bit of a change for us. We really have depended upon and are grateful to Colgate University and Morrisville College. In the past, they have hosted many of our events, and they have provided much of the support. Everything from meals to location, and this year we thought, you know what, we're not going to go it alone. We're still counting on them to support us, but we're going to try and do it in Peterborough for the commemoration. So those are the two big pieces that are coming up this year.
Yeah, is there any other way maybe you can talk about how people can support the museum?
Sure. You can become a member of the National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum. Again, you can contact us at that email address that I gave you. It's mail@abolitionhoff.org. To become a member for a year, it's $35. To become a member for life, it's $175. In addition, people can contact us if they want to offer their services. Hey, if you guys need to do some printing, we can help you out with that. We'll certainly take any kind of support. Or I'm a master, you know, if you're a master communicator and publicist, then you can come take my job here because I bet there are people who could do this much better than I am tonight. In addition, we're talking about we're celebrating Lincoln this year. And so we're talking about sending $5 to Nahoff to support. We're bringing Lincoln to Peterborough, so a $5 bill, one with Lincoln, is sending $5 just to support the National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum. And for each one that we get, we put that person's name on a chain, on a link that will go around the museum, just a paper chain for symbolism purpose.
And then do you have a gift shop in the museum as well?
We don't in the museum at this time. There is a Peterborough gift shop if people come to visit. To come visit now, the best bet is to send us an email so that we can be sure that we have somebody there. We're still training our docents. We're pulling people together. But people can also support us by going to cafepress.com and look for the National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum, And we have shirts and mugs and magnets and the like for sale there. And all of that obviously goes towards things like the museum and towards our movement. The full address is www.cafepress.com/Nahoff.
Okay. Okay. Leslie? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. John, you mentioned a book earlier. Are there any other books you recommend for someone who's trying to learn a little bit about abolitionists?
Yes. When I first came on as a onto the board, I asked the same question, and I was directed to, again, it's Milton C. Cernette's book. This one's called North Star Country. And it talks about how upstate New York really began as a, it had an evangelical tenor to it. And out of that sprang many of these movements, including the women's right movement, which, you know, Seneca Falls is just a little bit west of us, just the other side of Syracuse, probably about, I don't know, an hour west of us, the abolition movement. So North Star Country by Milton Cernette. And another one, really kind of an unsung hero of the abolition movement, is Garrett Smith. I grew up probably 20 minutes from Peterborough and hadn't heard of him until I joined this board. I knew nothing about him. And the probably preeminent scholar on Garrett Smith is Dr. Norman Dan, Norman K. Dan. He actually lives at the Smith Estate, he and his wife, Dot Wilsey, who is the president of Nahoff. And he has a book on Smith called Practical Dreamer.
Well, I also read that Garrett Smith was responsible for redistributing land.
Yes, he was. He part of what he tried to do was when people, when freedom seekers made it to Peterborough, those who were interested, he would set them up with land in the north country of New York State, up in the Adirondacks, to varying degrees of success. John Brown actually ended up in North Elba, New York, up near, I'm trying to think of the name of the town, up near Plattsburgh, up in the hills. And the one of the reasons he brought his family there was to support those who had ended up in the Adirondacks and try to help them with such things as sustenance farming and the like.
Awesome. Now, what was the first abolitionist, or who was the first abolitionist you learned about yourself as a kid?
As a child, I think Harriet Tubman was probably the first one, followed shortly by Frederick Douglass. And really, as a child, I did not understand the meaning of it. And even into high school, it was something that happened in our history, and it was horrible, and now it's time to move on. I went on to be an English teacher. I'm not an historian, but as I became more and more involved in my current position, I started looking into it more, a little bit more, found out more about what actually happened right in my own backyard, and that kind of drew me in. I was just recently appointed to the Amistad Committee Commission for New York State. And part of our charge is to figure out how best to help children understand that time period and those events. How do we get that into our schools so that they don't grow up as ignorant about it as I was?
Wow. How do you find that task right now? Is it very difficult? Are you finding teen books or juvenile books?
I am just getting into it. I was just appointed recently. They have pulled together already a list of resources, and there are hundreds of them. But if the teachers don't know where to go, if they don't know what they're looking for, they may not come across those resources. So our next goal, I think, really is going to be stepping into the classrooms and starting to talk to teachers about, okay, What do the state standards say? What do the national standards say? And how do we connect that to these resources? How do we help the kids understand this time period and these events? And again, for many children, it's very much something, oh, it happened a long time ago. those things don't matter anymore. And that's, you know, just part of being a kid, too. That's just, you know, part of our growth.
What would you want a student to experience if they were to walk into your museum if you won the Pepsi grant?
We have a plan for 9 modules. Milton Cernette really took the lead on developing most of these modules. And those 9 modules are everything from how the abolitionists, what their cause was, to how they communicated, everything from abolition singers to the newspapers of the time. And I'd like the kids to see all of that. I think that's critical. But the 10th module of the museum is going to be about how do you continue that mindset? How do you continue that movement? Because Frederick Douglass, and it's part of our mission statement, Frederick Douglass referred to a second abolition, the moral conviction to end racism. Our mission statement is the National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum honors anti-slavery abolitionists, their work to end slavery, and the legacy of that struggle, and strives to complete the second and ongoing abolition, the moral conviction to end racism. So that 10th module is really going to be about helping people understand, and especially kids, that there is still work to be done, and they have to be a part of that work if it's going to be accomplished.
Can you expand on your abolitionist singers? It's the first time I've ever heard of them.
The abolitionist what?
Singers.
Fingers.
I thought you said singers.
Singers. People who sing abolition songs.
Okay.
Who sang songs. And again, much of the movement was done in churches and in houses. They sent out what they referred to as the 70, although right now we don't know that there were actually ever 70 of them, from the New York State Anti-Slavery Society to travel and to talk to people about the abolition movement. In fact, Theodore Weld was a key part of that. And one of the ways to get that across is obviously through song. It wasn't just newspapers. Not everyone was literate.
Mm-hmm.
So. Do you think, what role is the church playing in assisting your National Abolitionist Museum and Hall of Fame organization?
What role are they currently playing?
Are they active?
No, we haven't connected with any denomination directly. I mean, the place where we are located is no longer a church. Obviously, it's the Smithfield Community Center. Certainly, they need to be a part of that movement, that second abolition movement. But we have not connected directly to any churches.
Do you foresee your organization doing that?
I don't know, honestly. That can be a dicey question. Does one need to be a part of a church to be an abolitionist or to follow that mindset? I think that's something that we will certainly have to discuss at some point, but I don't know that we're at that point right now.
Okay. Mr. Jeremy?
No, I think this is great. Again, I've never heard of the National Abolition Hall of Fame, and I'm actually learning a lot. I'm here on the website right now, and the life of John Brown has always amazed me. And I think that it's interesting, or I think the museum could do a lot of good in how it changes, perhaps, well, maybe in the younger schools, 10-12, how it changes the attitudes or, I don't know, race perceptions in children. Because, again, when I grew up, I always thought of, when I thought about slavery, the last thing I would think about was a white person trying to help blacks be free.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And I think that hopefully the museum could be a part of the schools and how people integrating the museum into education, because it can change the perceptions of children. and all colors, but how the, what they think about, how they perceive, and how they come into the understanding of slavery and the struggle for freedom.
That's how I came into this organization, actually. I am a staff development specialist for a local consortium. We serve 9 local school districts. I was working on a Teaching American History grant and looking for people to work with. And I was introduced to Dot Wilsey, who is, I wish that she had been able to speak with you folks tonight. She is amazing. She is really the heart and soul of NAHOF. And my goal was to try and connect these local museums, and there's so much history in Central New York, and I wanted to connect these local museums and these local organizations to the schools. And we've done that to some, you know, we've had some success with that, and we still need to do more. At one of our recent induction ceremonies, we actually had seniors who are taking AP classes. They came to a lyceum and learned a little bit about it and went back to their teacher, and they were so excited about it that she actually assigned them each one of the 70. She got in touch with me and assigned each of them one of the 70 to research, and then they actually presented at our induction of Theodore Dwight Weld. They presented about that person that they had researched. Their teacher has now joined our board, so that, you know, we're starting to get into the schools. But again, we are the National Abolition Hall of Fame and Museum. No such organization exists in this country. And while it's great that we're doing local work, we do need to be, we hope to get to a point where we are reaching out nationally and touching every school, touching every child.
Are you on Facebook or any of those social networks?
We are on Facebook. It's very simple right now. I've just started getting into that, and I'm kind of the one who takes the lead on much of the technology side of our organization. The best thing to do to support us right now is obviously to vote for the grant, and I'm gonna plug it again, www.refresheverything.com/NAHOFM, National Abolition Hall of Fame Museum. And the other thing is, if you have questions, if you want to come visit, send us an email, mail@abolitionhof.org, and we will be happy to support you and to answer any of your questions and to bring you into the fold, as it were, and elicit you, your help in getting us out there a little bit more and bringing us across the country.
Okay. Do you have a Facebook address?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that, and I'm drawing
a
blank right now.
Okay. Well, do you have any young people on your board? Do you have any teenagers on your board?
Not at this point, no. It's something that we need to get into, but we're not there right now. Many of our meetings and times are at times when they can't come visit us, when they can't come see us. They're during the work day, during the school day. Something that we're, you know, one of the things that we're exploring right now is changing those meeting times so that we can open it up to more people.
How did you find out about the Pepsi grant?
I was looking through the internet and came across the story, and my wife owns a nursery school, a local nursery school, and last month we tried to get one of the $50,000 grants for her school, and we didn't get it, and I'm okay with that because much of the publicity went out. We were looking to develop a scholarship system for the school. But beyond that, I learned a lot about how this works, and that's allowed me to get a lot more support for this grant, and frankly, it's really an important piece. And the nice thing about Peterborough and where it's located is that if you're in upstate New York, it's pretty centrally located. It is probably 8 or 10 miles off the New York State Thruway, which cuts east-west between Albany and Buffalo. There are a lot of other things to do in Madison County. Madison County is very rural, and as you're driving through, you think, well, there can't be much there. But the Boxing Hall of Fame is right off that same thruway exit. There are museums, and we are close to the Harriet Tubman House, close to the Seward House, close to the Women's Hall of Fame.
What is the Seward House?
The Seward House is, I can't give you much on William Seward. But it, I'm trying to remember. He was, nope, I'm drawing a blank right now.
We'll Google it.
Yeah, it's a local museum. Matilda Jocelyn Gage is another local museum. Plus, there's the Holyoke Canal System through this part of New York State, and there are museums for that all over this area. So it's a nice place to visit if you are of a historical mind, if you're looking for a little bit more.
Give us your website and your contact information again.
Sure. Our website is www.abolitionhof.org. To email us.
Okay, and the Pepsi grant?
The Pepsi grant is www.refresheverything.com/NAHOFM.
And your email?
mail@abolitionhof.org.
I was curious, how far did your wife go with her nursery school?
We started strong, and this is actually an important note to make about the voting. Everybody wants to vote the first week and support you, and then they forget about it. So we started off probably, I think, around 92 or 93, but we dropped to about 170, 180 by the end of it. Nahoff has gone the other direction so far. It's about people voting every day and getting their friends and their family and everyone they know to vote every day. You get 10 votes a day, but you can only use one of those votes for us. Pepsi wants you to spread the love. There are a lot of great organizations out there, a lot of people looking to do good things. So Pepsi wants you to share your votes out. But we're looking for one vote a day from now till June 30th from everybody. And for everybody to start telling everybody else, hey, this is a good cause, please get on there and vote. If you're like me and you want a daily reminder, you can send an email to us, and I send out a reminder every day to people, hey, don't forget to get on and vote.
All right, well, it's been a very nice show. I wish you much luck with the voting, and I also will hope people will come out to see your museum. And it's located where?
It's located in Peterborough, New York, about 30 minutes east of Syracuse.
Okay. Well, that's right. Our show. I want to thank you, Mr. Push, Jeremy Williams, Nevada.
Thank you.
And we'll talk again and give us an update. John.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye-bye.